came through looking like some villains. Big, big.
What's going on, everyone? You're listening to Big Chillin'. You know our claim to fame. We are the number one podcast in Hartsville, South Carolina. I'm very excited because, you know, I got two guests with me today. They're a part of my favorite rising metal band. I got Atrial's drummer, Christopher Weekly.
What's up, guys?
And then I got Atrial's guitarist, Clayton Juning.
Yo, yo.
So this is going to be a fun episode. Make sure you guys share this podcast. Leave a review, like or don't. It's fine. But anyways, guys, how's everything been? Thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here, man.
Busy with life.
Yeah, for real.
I realize I sort of put you guys in danger a little bit. Not to break any news, but yeah, you know, there was a shooting on an airport drive, which is near where we are.
Yeah, but we risked our lives to make this podcast for you. You gotta listen to it now.
So there's someone on the loose right now. At least we hope not anymore. But we don't know much. All I know is there's three shootings, and so we're just hoping everyone's okay. But yeah, so we risked our lives to make this podcast. So
yeah, the grind don't stop.
So it's gonna be a fun one. But guys, you know, Clayton, you know this. I've been literally messaging you nonstop because I want you guys on here.
Like, I remember you messaging me like, God, it must have been like 6 or 7 months ago, man, yeah. At least.
You guys have been busy.
We've been very busy, man, because the first time you messaged me trying to like get us on, that was when we were about to go to the studio. We were writing and we were about to be going to the studio in like a month or two.
Couple months leading up to that, we were pretty slammed, and then if you did message us then, there was no way. It's been tough to get out here.
Because I mean, you guys have been shooting music videos, releasing songs, writing songs.
Yeah.
So I just gotta know, you know, because Fear Me came out like a month ago, mm-hmm. almost a month ago. So I just want to know, like, what's the creative process like for you guys?
Well, basically,
but you guys can both answer. I'm curious to know.
I mean, it varies a lot how we end up doing things. Sometimes you get like one of us will get on a roll writing a song, and then we'll send whatever we wrote off to everybody else, get feedback on it, and they'll put in some 2 cents. Or sometimes we'll all write together. You know, Fear Me was kind of one of those where we all wrote together, and we were actually literally all in the room together when that first got tracked.
Yeah. Which, believe it or not, is not as common as it may seem.
Yeah.
We are kind of spread out. I mean, Matthew, the singer, he's in Columbia. But other than William and I, Clayton's in, you know, Camden/Bishopville.
Yeah.
And it is kind of hard, especially with everyone's schedule and stuff, to get together and sit down and dedicate time to write. And even when we do that, that doesn't mean we're going to actually write something. I mean, it's hard. Writing is hard, especially in this genre. So it is very stressful, but that's why, you know, Clayton might write something, or William or whoever might write something, and then send out something that, like, hey, what do you guys think of this? And it could just be a riff, but
yeah,
it's any kind of way. It's, you know, it doesn't seem as easy as what people may think.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, all of us, like the five of us in the band being in a room together at one time is a very rare occurrence.
Right.
Like, it's crazy, like, how much you can get done with everybody living in completely separate areas.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know the lead singer was in Columbia. No. That's insane.
Lexington, actually. Oh my God. It's even farther.
Holy hell. No, that's crazy. But like you said, the whole genre thing. You know, I was listening to some of y'all stuff back in 2018. You know, I really like the song Curtain Call. That shit.
Really?
That shit's all.
Oh, dude, I
do
nothing but talk shit about that fucking song.
Really? I like it. I like Curtain Call.
That whole first EP is just, it's something. To make a long story short, we were so eager to get stuff out to play shows that a lot of that album was kind of just rushed, with the exception of like 2-ish, 3 songs. But we were just so ready to play shows. Like, we just had to get something out. And looking back on it, I mean, if anybody listens to the Havoc EP and then the Atrial EP, that very first one, it sounds like completely two different bands.
It does.
Other than Odd One Out.
It does.
Yeah.
So, it kind of reminds me of like a little like one was Slipknot, one was Stone Sour sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? It is completely night and day other than Odd One Out.
Yeah, even Odd One Out isn't as heavy.
Oh, no. I mean, like, compared to stuff on Havoc, I mean, but we all have like Odd One Out is like a, you know, that is something that's special to all of us because that was the first song that we all kind of like, yes, this is, you know, this is the direction we would like to go with.
Mm-hmm.
But other than Odd One Out, we don't play anything off that EP anymore. It's all everything off of Havoc, the two new singles that we have, Fear Me, and then one that hasn't been released yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually
you guys gonna break a little, any news for us?
Well, we're about to shoot a music video in the next couple weeks, probably.
Yeah.
Probably the next month or so.
We are currently in the creative process of the music video for that.
Right.
But the song is done. We went to the studio a couple months ago.
Yeah.
We tracked Fear Me and the new song. It's just a matter of us getting the final thoughts together for the music video and doing it.
That's crazy. I mean, especially for y'all's music videos, I enjoy, you know, go subscribe to them on YouTube because I enjoy the behind-the-scenes content because, I mean, all I do is a bloody podcast. And there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine creating a song, you know, cameras, lighting. You guys put a lot of time into it, which is just, I mean, it's beautiful to see. I know that's going to be, like, difficult to do.
It's a fucking headache.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even going to sit here and bullshit. It's a fucking
like movie. Shooting music videos almost always fucking blows, man.
Right.
It almost always sucks.
Yeah. Even the behind the scenes, it's just a sliver of the kind of, you know, long, exhausting shit that goes into it.
Right.
Just for, you know, 3 minutes or however long this song is. Like, I mean, it takes months to try to come up with an idea. Months to, you know, get a just everything and anything that you can think of that comes with making a music video. But at the end of the day, we're not going to put out something that we're not proud of, or, you know, so it's definitely worth the time.
Yeah, I learned that lesson, like you said, on the first EP when we rushed that. And the only songs I feel attached to off of that are Odd One Out and Downswing. So I mean, I never really want to rush anything again.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, because we only play Odd One Out, it's because, you know, it's not that we're not proud of those songs. It's just we're not,
You guys have grown.
Yeah.
You guys have grown a lot. And it's just like, even though, you know, you guys created that, you guys may have a little soft spot for it, love it because that's your work.
Yeah.
But you want to
be
represented in like, hey, like, this is us now. That's not, you know. So I get what you guys are saying when you say that.
That's what we intend to do with any future projects. We don't want to dwell on, you know, like, oh, you know, we're not going to top Havoc, because in our minds, we are going to top Havoc. We're going to, anything we release, you know, is going to be better than the last thing we release. So we're constantly trying to push ourselves to release bigger and better music.
Yeah,
like, it's like, think about whenever Zeppelin got in the studio and was tracking, you know, Zeppelin 4, they weren't sitting there thinking, all right, what were we doing on Whole Lot of Love? Let's do that again. Like, no. You know, we've already done that. Now we're doing this. And then you come out with freaking Stairway to Heaven and everybody loses their minds.
Right,
okay.
Right. I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. But, like, you know, can I call you Topher?
Yeah.
That's what everybody calls.
So,
I know I introduced you as Christopher, which is your name, but I know a lot of people call you Topher.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of weird. I got the nickname in middle school, but anybody who's like relatively close to me refers to me as Topher. That's like a number one sign for someone who does not know me.
Right.
Is if they say, hey, Christopher.
Christopher.
Because anybody that somewhat knows me personally, you know, they're going to call me Topher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if I'm not looking at someone and they call me Christopher or Topher,
right.
I know
right.
if someone doesn't know me or they do know me.
All right.
Or if they call you Chris.
Then they know damn sure they don't know me.
But yeah, man, I mean, Topher's it's a badass. You know what I mean? That shit has a nice ring to it. But I mean, I had a question for you because, you know, because I remember whenever I walked into the ABC store,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was talking to you about, you know, the music video you guys shot for, you know, Killing Inside. Yeah. And I remember you were talking to me a little bit about you doing the drums, mm-hmm. which, you know, you used to be a bass guitarist.
Yep.
So what was it like making that transition from one instrument to another?
Well, this is a funny story, because in the early days of the band, it was just Clayton, William, and I, and it was just us jamming out, and Clayton and William were on guitar, I played drums. Drums is my number one instrument, and we have played, you know, some songs here and there, and we, you know, fast forward to us going to college and stuff, and we started getting together for the that first EP, and we were getting ready to play shows, and we could not find a bass player, and we knew of bass players, the guy we had in mind, I'm not gonna say any names, the guy we had in mind, he was a friend with us earlier through, like, you know, growing up and stuff, and it's just, believe it or not, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but look is important.
Right.
And he just didn't fit the look, and he didn't have anything to do with the writing process, and it was just, you know,
he wasn't really pulling his weight.
Which, I mean, he really had nothing to do with any kind of writing whatsoever, but anyway, we couldn't find a bass player, and we knew of guys from Francis Marion through William and Matthew who played drums. They could fill in, and we're like, you know, we can have a drummer, like, who's willing to step up and play bass. William, for damn sure, is not going to play bass.
Right.
He has, you know, said that many times, he will not play bass, and, you know, that's dumb of us to put our best guitar player on fucking bass, you know, not to downgrade bass. It just wouldn't make sense.
Mm.
So they were like, hey, do you want to play bass? And I was like, I don't know how to fucking play bass. I didn't know how to play guitar. And they were like, great, so you're playing bass.
It's through to the wild, basically.
Dude, it was,
right?
I love the way you just told that. Because it's so true.
They threw me.
They just fed you, bro.
Yeah.
That motherfucker had never picked up a stringed instrument in his life, barely. Luckily for us, every song on the first EP is so easy on bass. Like, Zach, I could straight up throw you a bass guitar and you could learn almost every song off of that EP in the next, like, 3 months. No problem.
It was a big shock, just because, you know, I never really, like, I have picked up a guitar and I noodle around, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Right.
So to play bass and then expect, you know, to learn how to play songs within 2.5-3 months, or however long it was.
You got your first bass guitar like 2.5 months before our first show.
Yeah, I literally bought the bass just to play the show. Like, it was, you know, very rushed, but I somehow did it, and I got to where I was starting to get possessive of it, because I was like, hey, if I'm going to be the bass player, I'm going to fucking be the best bass player I know how to be. Whether I know what the hell I'm doing or not,
right.
I'm going to go up there and, you know, sling dick on bass. So, and that's what happened. You know, to be completely honest, I wasn't pulling my weight up to a certain point because I was struggling to catch up, because Clayton's over here shredding and trying to play bass or whatever, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I mean, it's overwhelming, but I tried to make sure I stayed on top of it, you know, for the shows and stuff. But, you know, long story short, I played bass up until we started doing, I'd say, what, second show through the Havoc, or I don't know, when did I go on drums?
I know exactly when you went on drums. Your last show on bass was December 22nd of 2019.
Damn.
I don't know how you remember that.
I know exactly how I remember that, because Holiday Havoc was our headlining show after the Havoc EP came out, and that was on the 21st at Livewire.
Yep.
And we had the show in Columbia the next night.
The back-to-back shows, that's right.
And that was your last show on bass, which, that was a fucking hell of a show to go out on.
That show was
by far best one.
That was a very sick show.
Thank God it wasn't the Holiday Havoc show, because that was a shit show.
Yeah, it was a shit show. But we went And we were so uptight because this was our like first time headlining our show. And we went, it was so much going on. We recorded the live stuff, video and audio wise.
Fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah, there was so much that was going on. We were so uptight. And we played, we did okay.
I mean, a shit show is a harsh way to put it. We did all right.
Yeah. But
nobody knew we fucked up but us.
Yeah, but we were just beating ourselves up, and we just felt we could have played better. But that's for every show. But once that night was over with, and we went to Columbia the next night and played, it's like we got all the jitters out. We kind of relaxed. We didn't have to worry about all the other headaches of headlining and recording and all that shit. And we went on, what, second or third?
Third, I think. Third? We went on at like 9 o'clock or something.
Oh, dad,
and
wow.
We went hard AF. Like, there was video of us. Like, it was the first song, whatever. And Clayton and I were up there fucking windmilling. Like, it was sick. The lights were going. It was
Dude, the strobe lights.
It was
badass.
A killer show. But yeah, that's definitely a good show to go out on. But to bring it back in, we were asked to play a show in Columbia again. We were supposed to headline right before Rona hit, and the two guys.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, the two guys who we had been asking to fill in for drums, they both couldn't make it. And we were like, well, you know, we can't play the show because, you know, who's going to play drums? And then obviously I'm like, you know, duh. Like, I will learn how, you know, I'll, you know, fast track.
Right.
Get back on
right.
drums.
He's sitting back there raising his hand.
Yeah, like, please.
Back to square one.
Yeah, like, I will gladly play drums. But then we're like, who's going to play bass? And it only made sense we actually, at this point, we have two options for bass. Our current manager, Blake, and then our friend Zeb. And it just made sense because both of them acted as, like, friends/roadies for us. They come to all of our shows. They would help us load up. And, you know, it just made sense for one of them to play bass.
Right.
And I don't even know why we chose Zeb.
I mean, end of the day, like, one of them was going to – both of them ended up playing a part in what we do.
Yeah, no matter what we were
going to
choose.
If Blake had ended up playing bass with us – Zeb would have been doing the one that is doing what Blake is doing now.
Yeah,
so, I mean...
It was, you know, we didn't...
It was arbitrary.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I think I was actually fucking just hanging out with Zeb one night after a rehearsal with our other band. And I was like, hey, man, we need a bass player. You want to play bass?
What was his answer?
He was like, fuck yeah, I want to play bass.
But yeah, it just kind of worked out. I mean... Having Blake as the manager has definitely had his benefits. And same thing with, you know, having Zeb on bass, it's had his benefits. So I think it worked out. I think it was meant to be that way. But it just made sense. And it just so happened, you know, that's how it went. And kind of the same thing with me hopping on bass. I kind of had to learn really quick because I had been at college the whole time. And I haven't played drums in almost 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I had to really, like, go through some boot camps with myself and try to get back to par with my drumming ability, especially the new shit that we're playing. Like,
outrageous.
Playing bass, you know, that's one thing, but, you know, I'm
and
the tempo.
Should,
like,
right,
holy
right.
shit.
And that could be tiring.
So it was a lot.
You know, like drums.
Over
like,
there sweating.
So, yeah, it was, I'm glad... With the current situation that we're in, with me on drums, Zeb on bass, I think it's smooth sailing right now. That being said, we've only played one show with that current setup, and it was a fucking banger.
It was a banger.
It was a like, wild show. But
it was a very illegal underground show. And, yeah, dude, the building we played in was about the size of this building that we're
really?
In now. Yeah, man.
Arguably
it was actually
smaller.
Yeah, arguably smaller. It's about right, though.
Holy hell.
And, dude, when I tell you, you could not have crammed a single fucking person in there. Like, Jesus Christ.
It was every bit of, like, 50, 60 people.
Jeez.
Dude, I feel like it was a lot more than that, if I'm not... It was a lot more than that.
Yeah, it could have easily been 70.
There were people swinging from the fucking ceiling. Okay?
Yeah, crowd surfing, like, hanging from the ceiling and shit.
Holy shit.
It was intense.
I mean, when you guys see that stuff, like, how's that, where you guys perform and y'all see that, like, how's that make y'all feel? Like, that's
gotta
be awesome.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Your adrenaline's through the roof.
It's about, like, you know, you know, we all played sports like in high school and stuff. Whenever like the crowd would get hyped into the game, you're like, dude, hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
We're about to whip their ass or something. Yeah.
You feel like invincible. In
exactly.
A way, you know what I mean?
You know, it's kind of a similar feeling. You know, everybody's into it, so you're into it.
Yeah, tie game, you know, you're a minute left in the fourth quarter basketball game, or, you know, bottom of the ninth, you know, two outs, running on third base. You got to do your job. Your adrenaline is through the roof. That's what it's like.
Yeah,
like,
except you're, well, I don't know, arguably drunker.
Arguably.
I don't know. I have a few double-doubles I don't remember in high school.
The thing about me in those situations, at least just out of that one show that I've played, and it could be different once we play more shows, but because that was my first show on drums and my adrenaline is through the roof, I have to constantly tell myself, hey, slow down, because if I start speeding up, they've got to speed up. So I have to constantly remind myself, like, hey, slow down, you got to play the tempo here, like the correct tempo, because our song Fear Me is at 200 BPM. Oh. If I go any faster than that, holy shit, like, what? You know, we're just sitting there just...
Right.
Matthew's going to die.
Yeah, he
can
barely catch his breath. So.
Vocal damage.
For real. Dude, he said he fucked himself up at that last show. He went like old school Corey Taylor Slipknot, not caring about technique or anything like that. He said his voice was fucked up for like several days. Which, I believe him. I couldn't hear anything for so long after that.
Yeah, that's the other
thing. That was the loudest show I've ever been to, and I mean... that's how it is with these small ass places, you know. Sound has nowhere to go but fucking here.
Yeah.
Yeah, wearing in ears and like clicks and all that stuff, you might as well just throw that shit out the window because you can't hear it.
Yeah.
You can crank that shit up in your ear as loud as you want to. All you're going to hear is yourself and the gigantic speakers just literally right beside your head. So it is what it is.
That's wild. Was that because I feel like you guys had a show on Greer.
That was it. That's the one.
That's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I said that wasn't. How long ago was that?
That was at the tail end of November, because it was like right after your birthday, I think.
It was the
November 28th. That's exactly when it was. I don't know how I keep remembering these dates.
Was it the 28th or 29th?
One of them.
I think it might have been the 29th because it was the day before my birthday. I think that's correct. That's it could be the 28th.
Well, happy birthday to you. You woke up with a killer fucking hangover.
No, it was the 28th then. It was the 28th.
Dude, you were miserable that next day.
Yeah, we both felt like shit. It was...
That's pretty badass, though, bringing a birthday, like, doing a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens more often than you would think. We tend to do a lot of shit around his birthday. I don't know why. It just happens.
And then, like, the other question I had, because you guys said you guys went on second, you're on at 9. So when you headline, what time did you guys go on?
Oh, good God, like 11 o'clock. And the thing is, we had to talk him into letting us go on at 11 o'clock.
Dude,
and we got a message from that motherfucker last night asking us to play again. I do not want to go back there. But
was he asshole?
He's just stupid. He's just stupid. That's all there is to it. We played one of the biggest shows like this ever come through that bar. The lead singer for Asking Alexandria,
oh wow,
Danny Warsnop, came through there and played a show. He was passed out at the bar before we even went on.
Danny took pictures with him passed out.
Yeah, he didn't even know what was going on. But anyway, yeah, he likes to do his headlining shows. His headliners don't go on until like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And that's all well and good if you've got a crowd that's willing to stay that long. But, dude, no one wants to be at fucking Livewire at 1 o'clock in the morning except drug dealers and, like, you know, people that got nowhere else to sleep.
Right.
like, Jesus Christ, man. And you're trying to get a crowd of people to stay there to watch our asses play.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, we'd like to think we're bigger than, you know, what we actually are. But in reality... We're not that fucking big, so no one's going to stay till 1 o'clock, 12:30, you know, to watch us play. You know, the reality of it is people are spending their money, their time to come see us play. They're not trying to stay out that late, especially in that, you know, shithole of a place.
So, right.
No.
We had to, like, beg him to play at 11, and he wasn't happy, but fuck it. You know, we're bringing him money.
Right.
So, at the end of the day, we're the ones that matter, so.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I basically told him. Yeah, and that's... Oh, drop my bottle cup. And I basically told him, I was like, look, man, I know all the bands that are playing with us, and none of us have a crowd that is willing to stay that long. And he's like, are you sure about this? I'm like, yes, I'm sure. And he ended up having one of the best-selling nights like that he's had.
Right.
And I'm like, man.
And the thing is, like, not to toot our horns or anything, like, but he likes asking us to come play there because we bring a solid crowd, and he's making money off of it. Yeah. We're getting paid dick for it. You know, it's just, that's just the reality of it. But, you know, it is what it is. If we were in a dire need to play a show, we know we could get back there.
Right.
We don't want to.
Yeah, if I was really homeless and in need of, like, 20 bucks.
Yeah, 20 bucks and, like, some shitty beer. Like, come on.
Shitty beer. That's how they, like, bribe you guys, right? They're just, like a tab or whatever, like...
We get a shitty discount.
Yeah, we get a little.
Oh no,
yeah, we get a little bullshit discount.
No,
it's like a 5 or 10% discount.
You're
on
kidding
Miller Lite.
You're kidding.
Yeah, like a Miller Lite that costs $1.50, a 10% discount. You're looking at like 5 cents.
Really?
Appreciate it, Hoss.
That's messed up, dude. Because you know one of my good friends, like he plays at bars like at Wings and Ale and stuff, and
yeah.
You know they're paying him, and he gets like $100 tab. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it is, and that's a. Like, the same thing that I've experienced, like, I play a lot of solo stuff, you know? Like, I'll go and play, like, a show just like you were just talking about. And, dude, they're literally throwing beer at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just be sitting there playing a song, and all of a sudden, there's a full beer sitting next to me.
You're not going to turn down a full beer.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess I'm drinking.
That's a crime, you know what I mean?
For real.
That's the one thing that I feel like people may not understand. When you're playing solo stuff, and Clayton can, you know, testify to this, he's getting paid, you know, even if it's $200. That $200 is going to him. And they're giving him beer and all that stuff. We're a 5-piece band. We're scum of the earth. You've got 4 other bands that's on the bill. And
we're all playing original music that nobody wants to fucking hear.
Exactly. With the solo stuff, you're hearing covers, you know, you're playing to an audience that's there to hear, you know,
exactly.
Right.
Country music, what's on the radio, etc.
Like, we bust out Obone out at the show, yeah, that's cool. And then I go to the fucking bar, some little small town juke joint, and I play Can't You See by Marshall Tucker, and I make $200 in tips in 3 minutes.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, what?
And he's getting fed beer. Meanwhile, I'm walking off stage, I go ask for a beer, and they're like, fuck
go
you.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah. If anything, I'm going to charge you more.
Oh, like, my God. Like, damn.
People just...
No
yeah,
love.
Yeah, mention no our love. Names at the bar, get charged full price.
That's my discount to you. So.
Jesus.
But you know, hopefully we'll get a little bit better discounts as we keep playing. But
so I'm actually curious. I've actually got a question for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, let's go.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
So first of all, how long has this podcast been going on exactly? I feel like it's been around for like maybe almost a year or so.
Not quite a year yet. We started in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, like, what do y'all use to, like, put it? Do y'all use DistroKid? Like, how do y'all get y'all's podcasts on, like, Spotify and all that?
Ah, see. So, I actually heard that. What was that app you said again?
DistroKid. That's what we use.
I've heard of that before because I had my good friend Bray. He raps. You know, he's Creative K.
Yep.
And he was showing me that app, which you guys have to, like, pay for that correctly.
It's $20 a year for the account. And you can buy, you know, other... features and stuff like that for a little bit more, but
right,
basically
right.
$20.
So for podcasting, really anyone can start it. What I use is Anchor.
Yeah,
I just use Anchor.
I've heard of
and
Anchor.
And when you use
it's
Anchor,
free, isn't it?
Yeah, it's free. It's free. Which
yeah,
hell, hopefully one day they don't charge because you know podcasting has become like a pretty big thing.
Exactly.
Everybody and their brother has a podcast.
Right. Right. So right. I'm surprised it is free, but yeah, through Anchor and it uploads it through you know Spotify, Apple. Google, but any podcasting platform, it you know
yeah.
uploads it. So that's yeah, that's what I use.
So I like I noticed because you know I'm not a huge podcast listener, but whenever I do listen to podcasts, and, you know if I'm on the road or something like that, you know just driving, have a long drive ahead of me. Yeah, I'll put you guys on and like,
dude, I'm flattered. I'm flattered.
Yeah, like dead ass, and I've noticed like a huge increase in like the quality of the podcast from like the first episode to like what you're doing.
Oh,
now.
Oh, dude, I know
it's huge, man.
I don't even like going back and listening to episode one.
Yeah,
I don't like listening
to
it.
The thing is, like, our relation to that is going and listening to our first EP. So
yeah, it's the same thing.
Right,
you know?
Newer stuff.
Right.
You're growing as you're you know doing it.
Right, and you know. you know, my friend Willie, like, he's in college this year, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, when it comes to speaking, like, I feel comfortable with it because, you know, at Coke, you know, both went to Coke or Coke, Coke University, baby. That's alumni. Right. So,
well, I'm alumni.
Yeah. I still got another year. But you know, then, like, a lot of public speaking classes, and, you know, I'm comfortable with speaking. And I feel like with podcasting, you know, you try to be, like, bring energy and bring excitement.
Yeah.
And you know, going back listening to my first episode, like, I did okay, but I feel like I'm way better now. And also, like, you know, my co-host Willie and, you know, Cody, you know, they at first, like, I feel like I was kind of carrying it just a little bit, you know what I mean? Because, you know, because no one wants to listen to a podcast and there's, like, a silent. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, silence in between.
Yeah, it's always a little bit awkward.
Right. Because you're like, well, what's going to be talking about next?
Yeah.
But we've gotten so much better, and we've all grown at it. And it just took practice, man. You know, being consistent, doing a podcast every week, you know, and just, like I said, you know, I guess the Bud Light Platinums don't hurt either, you know? So...
Please, Bud Light Platinum. Sponsor Big Chillin.
Sponsor Big Chillin.
That's right. Much appreciated, fellas. Much appreciated.
Big Chillin's got a Super Bowl ad coming up next year. Where you at, Brady?
Sorry.
We'll see ya.
Sorry, Joe Rogan. We're coming for you. We're coming for you, baby. But, yeah, so, you know, I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, I feel the same way going back listening to episode 1 and 2. I feel like... our quality didn't start getting better till like after episode 4.
Yeah.
And you know, and then from there it's just been better. So I try to be, you know, just like when you guys talk about where you guys perform and sometimes you guys make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes whenever I do this, like, I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I would have worded this different or added this, you know, so I'm always like critiquing myself and trying to be the best, you know?
Yeah. I mean, nobody's perfect. That's for damn sure. I mean, you gotta make mistakes and stuff like this and music, no matter what it is. But yeah, man, this it's definitely grown. I mean, that's for damn sure.
We got the merch.
Y'all got merch.
We barely have merch.
Oh, that's what I was about to say, man. Is that merch online?
Can you
pass
me another beer, please?
Yeah.
It's all y'all's merch is online, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You know how long it took us to get an online store?
Thank you.
Like, we just got an online
store.
Dude,
I want an Atrial hoodie, bro.
Yeah, I want a Big Chillin fucking hoodie. I don't have a hoodie.
Yeah, I feel like William's the only person that actually has any of our merch.
William's the only one that has any of our fucking merch.
We have to pay for our shit. So
yeah,
we
same.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people to go and get one, and I feel like people are hesitant to buy one because they think the money's going to you, but it's really not.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
very,
at least for me, it's not.
Very
small. You know what I mean? Because we use, like, Bonfire. So.
Okay.
Well, yeah, speaking of while we're here, what's the merch store? Atrial.StoreEnvy. Atrial.StoreEnvy, yeah. Which
shameless plug.
But the thing is, like, the stuff isn't that expensive on the store, but, like, you know, $20 to buy my own fucking band's, you know, hoodie, I'm like...
Oh, yeah. I know, I know. I get what you're saying. I was like, because for us, it's like, you know, like $30 for a hoodie.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, am I debating to buy my own damn hoodie? Like, I'm just like,
I can't imagine how everybody else.
I'm just like, this is my podcast. Like, so I'm like, I go, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't think I would support the cause more than I did.
The thing is, like, it also, like, we see, like, who's buying, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
So, it would be kind of dumb. We might as well just give ourselves $20 and put it in the band account because it's just coming full circle. The only difference is we're getting a shirt out of it.
Right.
So,
and that's the thing. It's not even coming full circle because Store Envy takes like a percentage off the
top.
Yeah,
we're losing money.
Yeah.
But, dude, that being said, our mugs are pretty fucking bitching. Yeah,
so
I totally want one.
When we were talking, because we get to choose, you know, what...
Damn, I want mugs.
And stuff like that.
Dude,
we were like, you know, let's get a hat, obviously, because shout out to Carl, one of our friends that's in the Army, and Jeffrey. They were asking about merch and stuff while they were in the Army, and Carl kept bugging me, dude, you got to get hats. You got to get hats. And finally, we got the website going, and we got hats, and, you know, we got hoodies and all that stuff, and I don't know if it was me or William or someone. Like, I was like, you know, it'd be kind of like sick to have a coffee mug. Like, I would totally buy a coffee mug.
Yeah.
I still don't fucking have one. But it'd be so sick to have a coffee mug. And
for your birthday, you'll get one.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I think we can do coffee mugs. And Dude, they're so sick. The black one is awesome.
Yeah.
I totally need to get one.
Yeah. Here's $13 or $6. Yeah, no, I feel you guys. I definitely want to, I'm going to have to go to that Atrial website and buy one.
Same.
I want to, yeah, I appreciate it. See, because I got it where, I'm sure you guys have heard of it, but like that link tree.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we use it.
Okay, yeah. So I got that on my bio and, you know, the Big Chilling Instagram bio, so you can just click in it and I got merch right there and you can just click and get one.
I'm sure on our Instagram and all that stuff we do have it linked.
Well, here's the thing about our Instagram right now. Well, we usually have the link tree up, but since we just came out with the music video, the link in the bio is Fear Me.
Yeah.
To draw more attention to that. But, dude, I'll tell you what. Do y'all do TikTok at all?
We do not. We thought about getting on it, though.
I'm going to tell you what, man. I hated it. I hated fucking TikTok because every one of my friends was sitting there while I was sitting there talking to them. Scrolling through fucking TikTok, and I hated it. But as a creator, like the band, myself, you guys, it is the best tool you can possibly have right now.
Right.
Like, dude, TikTok is impenetrable, man. There's so many people on it. There's so many people to get your stuff out there,
right,
too.
It is popping right now. So much to the point I am, like, hardcore contemplating of dropping, like, a good crisp $2,000 just to mic up my kit so I can do stuff for TikTok.
Oh, really? Is that the option? Like, you can do that?
Yes. It is, like, in 2000 is the cheap route of doing it. It's like,
dude, micing up a kit's ridiculous.
I mean, I can, you know, really simplify my mic setup and stuff, but fuck that. Like, I'm going to go balls to the wall with this. But, yeah, Clayton's killing it right now on TikTok.
So, like, when you guys do, like, your social medias, right? Is, like, one person doing one, the other one's doing the other? Is that how y'all do it?
Sometimes that's how we do it. I mean, it's kind of loose, honestly. We all have all the passwords to everything. Right. So, if we all want to post something, if we get a message from somebody, it's basically just who the fuck messages the guy back first.
Right.
Yeah, right. The only, like, exception of that is kind of Twitter. Even though we all have the... Clayton didn't have Twitter.
I don't know diddly did.
Dude, I tagged
Twitter.
You on Twitter whenever I posted that. I was having y'all on the podcast.
For real?
I tagged, yeah.
I know zero things about Twitter. It's
I tagged you in it.
But Zeb is the only one that, like, actively says stuff on Twitter. And Blake, I guess.
Yeah,
now.
Blake a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so if they say something stupid, fuck them. Yeah, love you, Blake.
They said that they're listening to every bit of this. So, yeah, fuck you, Blake.
But yeah,
that's how we'll know if they actually listened.
Instagram, we're all pretty active on it. Facebook, I don't do Facebook. I have the login stuff, but that's more so William and Clayton.
Yeah, I've been working our Facebook a good bit recently because that's all these fucking promoters care about.
Which is so stupid.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing in the world. We have more monthly listeners on Spotify than any of these bands that we're opening up for.
Yeah, some juggalo shit-ass band. And, all you know, they have, what, maybe 1,000, 2,000 more likes or whatever?
I think on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, the promoters want to say something about that. Which is so stupid, because all Facebook is just a bunch of old farts and, like, our moms and dads.
Thanks.
They ain't coming to our grandma.
Yeah, they're not going to come to our show.
Like, if you want to interact with your audience, Facebook is not the place to
Especially for young people.
Exactly.
It's mostly Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. That's where all of our people come from. And I wish that these freaking idiot promoters would know that.
Yeah.
Because, dude, okay, they're sitting there scrolling through our Facebook or whatever, looking for, now we've got about, we're closing, we got like 2,500.
Yeah, we're closing in.
On Facebook.
Wow.
And, but that don't mean shit because Facebook's worthless.
Right.
But if you go to our YouTube, you know, we've got 1,200 subscribers on YouTube and, like, we get really good interaction on YouTube.
YouTube subscribers are like gold.
Right. Because so I watch, like, this person on YouTube. And he talks about, like, sports and stuff. And he was saying, I don't know if it's true, I'll ask y'all, but he was saying, like, YouTube only sent, like, you know, notifies you when, like, someone comments, like, something negative. Is that anywhere true or false?
Not to my knowledge.
Because he was saying, like, any positive thing he got, he don't receive it, but he only received, like, something negative.
How big is this guy?
Oh, shit, I don't know.
I was about to say.
Oh, he's got
a decent following. Like, I will say this, like, the more people you get, the less notifications you get.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, there was a point where we got notified every time somebody subscribed to us. Like, every single time. We saw the username, we saw everything. But whenever you cross, like, 1,000 or something like that, it only notifies you, like, every 10 subscribers or something like that. Yeah. And comments are the same way. So the more notoriety you get and the more traffic you get, YouTube only notifies you of certain things, you know, every so often.
And I used to get notified for comments, and like every single comment. So when the Havoc video released, we got over 100 comments on that video.
Well, dude, that video is just insane.
And my phone, it was ridiculous. It was just, you know, notification after notification because the subscribers and comments and stuff. But fear me, I don't even get the comments anymore.
Didn't see, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like it cuts off or whatever at a certain point once you reach a certain milestone. And I don't know if that's on purpose. I don't know if update had, or if there's like an update with YouTube. I don't know. But yeah, I enjoy reading the comments. So I don't know if you guys have like comments or whatever. Is comments on Spotify a thing?
I think so. It's going to be. I think they're looking into that, but that'd it's not great right now.
Yeah, if you have this podcast on anything that you know people can comment on,
right? Like on Apple Podcasts, people can leave like reviews, yeah, and you know, like stuff.
Reading the comments and stuff is very fun. It's something that I enjoy reading, even if it's negative, because a lot of the negative stuff that we get is just the funniest shit ever.
Really? If you can say, what's been the negative comments?
Dude, my favorite negative comment that we have gotten was on the music video to Havoc, and you're going to know exactly what it is. Fucking, this dude was like, this is pretty cool and all, but you guys should really try expanding your minds with cannabis. Dimebag Daryl was called Dimebag for a reason, and that's because he wrote better riffs or some shit like that.
But it was literally like a novel.
Yeah, it was a paragraph. I'm paraphrasing like crazy. Like, it was insane.
It was a straight up like paragraph of just this. It wasn't even a rant. It was like he was being nice, but also he like was negative, dude, at the same time.
He yelled at us in lowercase.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
It was the craziest shit I've ever seen. But I get blasted all the time on social media because, you know, guitar players are toxic as hell.
How about fucking you?
Like other guitar players?
Other guitar, yeah. What? Online guitar community, dude, I hate them so bad. They are all so toxic because every freaking dumbass with a freaking Telecaster that knows how to play Smoke on the Water thinks they know everything.
They're hot shit.
I think
they're hot.
And it sucks because they're ruining it for young people such as my brother who is trying to learn guitar. And you got these shitty-ass gatekeepers. And this, you know, guitar to me is like one of the worst, but it goes for all instruments. They gatekeep it, and if anything, it, you know, motivates people less to want to learn the instrument because they're discouraged by it. They feel like they can't ever achieve what this shit ass is saying on, you know, social media.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, I've gotten to the point to where I love it. I am so into it when somebody starts talking shit to me on some kind of social media about my playing because I'm very confident in my playing. And,
Dude, let me stop you right there. You're awesome, okay? So I got an older brother, right? He's very picky about shit, all right? Mm-hmm. He's very critique-y. I love you, bro. I appreciate it. You're awesome. I love you. But he's very hard on judging. Anyway, he saw that I was having you guys on the show, and I showed you guys like the videos you guys playing, and he was actually like, dude, these guys are awesome. Like, for you on drumming, badass. You on guitar, badass. So I was just like, I know. So yeah, dude. No, you're. I mean, with you and drumming, you're fucking awesome. With you and guitar, awesome. I mean, you know, because it's very rare for people to even know how to play an instrument these days. You know, I took up guitar when I was a kid. I learned how to play. I took it at a Christian school, but I learned how to play like "Mary Had a Little Lamb" with "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star."
Yeah.
That's all I know.
I mean, you know, there's actually, that being said, there are a surprising amount of people that, like, know how to play just a couple things on guitar, and I think that's so cool.
But everyone wants to get where, like, you know, you guys are at, whether it's drums or guitar, like, they want to be able to, like, you know, rock out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like old Jimi Hendrix said, man, like, whatever instrument you play, it's going to be horrible and you're going to hate it. But if you stick with it, I mean, it's worth it. Well, I don't know. Hold on.
It's a double-edged sword.
It's a very, yeah. I mean, if that's what you want, then it's very much worth it.
Right.
The thing is, like, you know, Clayton's very well, very aware of his abilities on guitar, and I'm aware of my abilities on drums, but, and I don't, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you feel like you always have room to improve.
Absolutely.
I feel like I suck ass on drums. I do suck ass on drums. I just know that I can play our stuff really well. I mean, I get on TikTok, and I, you know, as a guitar player, if I'm scrolling through and, you know, I see somebody like Clayton who's trying to teach me how to chicken pick, there's grown-ass men out there who have gone their whole lives without, you know, learning how to chicken pick. In my shoes, you know, I like to think I still have a lot of time to learn and grow as a drummer. But I see dudes on TikTok all the time doing these sick-ass, you know, drum solos and stuff, or just playing, you know, the meme song is Bleed by Meshuggah. It's the Hurtas. There's no way I can play that. I feel, you know, stupid trying to play that because it's so complex. And, you know, I try to push myself to, you know, get better as a musician, and Clayton does too. I mean, dude wakes up every morning, like his breakfast is playing guitar, running through his scales as a warm-up. I can't really do that because nobody wants to hear a drum sound at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, like, I just go out on the back porch, I casually sip coffee, you know, I start running my scales and everything on the acoustic guitar. Christopher, if he wakes up in the morning and does that, he wakes up the whole fucking neighborhood.
Right.
Like, I mean, they make drum pads and stuff, but who the fuck wants to do that?
Fuck that.
Right.
But yeah, it's you know, it is what it is. But I definitely feel like I have, you know, so much room to grow as a musician. And even the bands that we play with, we've played with bands in Colombia and even Florence. Because even when I was on bass, I would always look at the drummer. We've played with some phenomenal musicians.
Oh, my God, dude. The people from We As a Species.
Oh, my God.
That dude, that guitar player is a fucking savage.
It is a shame they're not together anymore, at least if I'm...
They are by far my favorite band we've played with.
The singer is, you know, an animal. He's hilarious, too. Their drummer was a beast. Their guitar player, holy shit.
Their guitar player is insane. But my favorite part about that band, yep, they're, you know, they're over there ripping a solo or something like that. Lead singer comes around, goes to the bar, does exactly what he just did. Let me get 5 shots. And he grabs 5 shots and brings them back to his soloing band. And they all just rip a shot on stage while they're, you know, doing their solos and shit. And then they all just come back into the song. Like, it's so fucking
And the thing
cool.
is, if I'm not mistaken, they're from that area, like the Columbia.
Yeah,
area.
They so are. The guitar player works at the Guitar Center in Columbia.
Yeah, so they're frequently playing there. So the bartenders, like, know, you know, these guys. So it's just always funny if we ever get, like, booked at New Brooklyn and we see We As a Species on the bill, we're like, yes. Like, I get so excited because I'm just waiting for their lead singer to run off stage and let me get 5 shots.
Dude, do you remember the name of that event we played with them?
I do not. Which way? There's been like two.
We played two or three shows with them, but the one that we played with them, they were headlining. And they created the event on Facebook, and they titled it Rock Hard, Hard Rock, and the Smell of Slaughtered Livestock.
Yes! and that's another
They're
thing.
They're the weirdest guys.
And that is a good point. Believe it or not, I would say 95% of the shows that we have played in up to this point, we have been one of the softest bands on the bill.
There's some heavy motherfuckers.
We have played with some heavy fucking bands,
really?
And we look like child's play.
Shout out to Cadaver Creator. I fucking love them.
Yeah,
I really want to play with them again.
I mean, We As a Species, Cadaver Creator, like, these band names are, you know, through the roof. In
you can just imagine how heavy
here,
they are.
So,
Atrium. Like, yeah, so...
But you said they broke up?
Yeah, We As a Species broke up, and I have no idea why.
Listen, We As a Species, if you're looking for a sign to get back together, this is it, because apparently you guys should. You guys seem fun, so.
They're an awesome musician. If I remember correctly, their bass player also slung dick, too. Because y'all were saying, like, yeah, that's me in, you know, 40 years or whatever. Because he had, like, long hair and shit, so he kind of looked like me.
Right.
But, That whole band was just, you know, they're all phenomenal musicians.
Right.
It was just, you know, we wish that we could play with them again. They're just a fun time.
I wish I could play again in general.
Yes. Jeez.
Be nice.
But it was, it's like you said, right? Like whenever you guys play, and like you guys said, you guys playing your new material, right? So whenever you're playing, is there ever fear that sets in, like, holy shit, what if these people don't like it? Or does that ever run through y'all's mind?
Not really. Not through my mind, at least. I can't speak for everybody else, but when it comes to playing our music live, I'm of the belief that you play what you want to play, you write what you want to write, and you hope that it reaches the people you're playing to. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Because I'm not going to sit up there and play a bunch of fucking songs I don't like because it's what everybody else wants to hear. You know, if I did all that, then I'd be in a cover band playing nothing but fucking Hank Jr. covers all the time. Which, I love Hank Jr. to death. That's just not my thing, man.
Right.
And, you know, another, to kind of piggyback off of that, if we were doing it for the money, we'd be in other professions.
We could be, and not only that, we could be making so much money if we just went out and played freaking, God knows, what are some bar
Def
covers?
Def Leppard.
Yeah, Def Leppard, some shit like that.
Like, we're not oblivious to this. We're not idiots. We know playing original music is hard. No one is going to know your shit until you start building up a resume when it comes to that stuff. We are fortunate that we have started to build that, mm-hmm. and people are coming to our shows. The Greer show, for example, I didn't see it, but there was some girl that was literally right beside Clayton singing word for word every song.
She was close to me as I am to him, and she was just screaming the lyrics to every one of our songs in my fucking ear.
And I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's what's, you know, someone we know. He's like, no, never seen a girl in my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was badass. She came up to me after the show and asked for the set list, and I gave it to her. I'm like, that's kind of fucking cool.
And
let me sign your titties.
She had some titties? I mean,
I don't even know, dude. I was fucked up.
At that point, I would have signed just titties. Like, we don't even know.
Right.
But, we've had people come up to us, and this is like early state, like second show we've ever played, asking to sign their ticket or whatever. Like, who the hell wants our shitty autograph? I barely know how to write my name in cursive, so
we never learned. We never learned how to write in cursive.
Yeah, like,
you
who
know?
Wants my autograph?
They didn't teach that in Hartsville?
No.
No. God, are you fucking serious?
What elementary school did you go to, Tuffer?
North Hartsville.
Okay, yeah, me too. Yeah, no.
Wow.
I remember, like, we did it for, like, in third grade for, like, a little bit.
And dude,
like,
I'm
okay,
trash.
Skip that. You know what I mean?
I'm trash at cursive. I'm not gonna lie. I even learned it, and I'm still trash.
I don't know how to write my name, and that's it now.
Thanks.
That's only because I got paranoid after signing that woman's ticket, like a third grader. So
she was like, fucking keep this ticket.
Yeah, for real.
Come
you
back.
You ruined my ticket.
Dude, I've still got tickets to our shows in our bags that we never sold. I have tickets to the, what was it? The Boba Fleck show. Which was, honestly, that might have been the worst show I've ever played.
Yeah, the promoter hands us, like, 400 tickets, you know. He's just hoping, yeah, like, sell all these tickets, you know. That's more money for him. We're getting paid $30, like.
No,
like in total? Like, $30? Just,
well,
I'm,
I mean.
Fucking around, but.
Oh, I was about to say.
What he, we got, whenever there's a promoter involved, a lot of times you get a certain amount off of each ticket that you sell.
It also depends on whether you're headlining or not.
Yeah, if you're headlining, then you have the option of either letting all of the other bands keep all of the money from their tickets, which is what we always do. We always want everybody to get paid. And you also have the option to make those bands that are opening up for you give you a percentage of every ticket that they sell.
Yeah, we could be dicks and decide, no, we're not going to fucking give them any kind of money.
Yeah, we could be dicks and do what everybody else did to us and be like, hey, you get $2 per ticket that you sell, and we get the rest of it when it's a fucking $10, $15 ticket.
But we know how it feels, and we're not going to
exactly.
fucking do
that. Exactly. We say, fuck that.
Right.
You know, ain't no way we're doing that to nobody.
Is
he taking a piss break? Is that what he's doing? I mean, I'm going to have to do that as well. Dude, this beer's running through me like a fucking...
Dude, you're like four platinums in?
Three and a half. I had a bunch of scotch before I came here, too.
Oh, my man. You got it on you?
Yes, I do. You want some?
No way. You got the flask. You still got the flask.
I still got the flask, dude. You know I got the flask, dog.
Dude, Clayton's so crazy, bro. I remember because I owe this guy a lot, okay? He's one of the reasons why I passed one of my criminology classes because he helped me out a lot. And this dude knows his shit, dude. Like,
believe it or not, I actually know a few things other than guitar and
dude,
drinking.
if this dude wasn't aspiring to be in a band, he would know a lot of shit when it comes to criminology and stuff. Because he's one of the reasons why I passed. But I remember we'd be studying for exams and shit, and he would just be like whipping out the flask, just drinking my mid-study.
Dude, I would show up to class a lot of times, with my coffee cup. There was not a drop of coffee in that cup. Not a single drop.
I remember your senior year, you winged this presentation for a Dr. P. Because we had to do that book.
Oh, I remember her very well.
If we had to do that book.
Yeah.
And we had to come.
I didn't do a thing in that book, dude. Mine was empty, and thank God.
You walked up there with it, and you just started, rambling.
I walked up there with it, set it down on the table behind me. Thank God she didn't take them up. She was like, oh, y'all can keep them or whatever. I was like, yeah, I think I'll do that, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, Lord. You totally straight up winged that shit.
I sure did. I did well on that, if I remember correctly. I think she gave me it. Thing is, what I don't think she realized is, in that class, the semester before that, I was actually at the her mock class that she, all of the criminology teachers in the program had to go to Davidson to watch her pretend to teach a class. And I was actually a part of that. Me and another crim student went over there as well because they wanted us to come. And I actually used almost every point that she made in that presentation that I remembered from almost a year ago and put it in my presentation.
Wow.
And that's why the whole time I was sitting there giving my presentation, I saw her sitting there taking down notes, just nodding, be like, yeah. This is good stuff.
Wow.
Like, I know it is. You taught it to me a year ago.
Yeah, she's really cool. I actually have her again this semester.
She was a great
professor. She's awesome.
She was a great professor. I really liked her.
I enjoy
her. Has she changed any since that was her first semester I had her? Or is she about the same?
She's about the same. She's the same. I love it. She's awesome. Yeah, I also had a question. Because, you graduated and you had to do your capstone.
Oh, yeah.
So I heard, for the capstone, right, you had to do, a do a presentation in front of all the criminology professors. Is that accurate?
Not all of the criminology professors. At mine, obviously Malone was there, and
Dr. Malone.
Yeah, and Dr. Couch was there as well. Is he still there?
I've never had him. I don't know.
For some reason, I vaguely remember somebody saying Dr. Couch was leaving.
He might have. I haven't heard his name.
Yeah, he was basically the exact same teacher as Malone. I mean, they were best friends.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And, their classes were identical. You have to do the same shit in each one of them. And, dude, I'm going to tell you what right now. If you need help in any of Malone's classes, I know that man like the back of my hand.
You're a lifesaver, dude.
Just hit me up, man.
Listen, I love Dr. Malone. He's a fun guy.
He's a really good
guy. He's awesome.
He's tough.
He's tough. And that's what I hate because I'm lazy as fuck. Because I remember, this semester he hasn't done it as much, so knock on wood because he don't do it. But he used to give pop quizzes like hell.
Oh my god, dude. He used to get so pissed at us at the capstone.
Yes.
Because none of us would read shit.
Yes. he wants you to read, and nobody enjoys reading. At least I don't.
Dude, I probably, in my capstone, I probably failed three or four of his pop quizzes horribly.
Yeah.
They don't mean shit, man. If you do well on the last thing, it's all that matters.
Yeah, because I love Dr. Malone. I love talking to him.
And yeah, he's a great guy.
He's awesome.
Man.
He's awesome. A great guy. I love him. He's challenging.
And he means to be. I mean, he's really cool, but he knows damn well he's got a job to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's all it is to him.
I learned a lot. I mean, throughout my year, a couple years of Coker, I learned a lot through my professors, but in Malone, you're gonna learn shit. He's gonna force you to learn.
Yeah.
And he's awesome, but he definitely is challenging. He's the toughest, in my opinion.
Have you had Siegfried?
I have.
Dude, Siegfried's the goat.
He's the goat.
He's the
I love him.
Siegfried and Dr. Lay are the goat.
Yes. Yes.
Both of them.
Awesome.
So I'm curious, How did you guys meet? Because I
don't even remember. It was either at the bar or in crim class. I don't remember.
I don't know if you know this, but we went to daycare with each other.
No way. Mm-hmm. You're kidding.
I don't know about you, but I know your brother.
Tristan?
Yeah, I went to daycare with y'all. That's like...
While y'all talk about that, I'm going to go drain the main vein.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's crazy. How do you remember that? Is it like a picture? Like a.
No, I have a weird memory, and some people might like know that about me. But
right.
I have like a weird, odd memory. Like I can remember the weirdest off the wall shit about people, things, events, whatever.
You remember? You told them was it at Miss Allison's?
Yep, Miss Allison.
Oh yeah, Miss Lisa. Miss Lisa was awesome, wasn't she?
Yeah. Her son Chase. Him used to always hit like baseballs and stuff.
Oh, really?
We used to go out when everyone was taking naps and stuff like
yeah.
that. We used to go out and hit baseballs.
Dude, I remember Miss Lisa spanked the hell out of me one time.
Oh, yeah, they didn't put on no fucking bullshit, dude. They beat the hell
dude,
out of
me. Dude, I swear to God, I remember this. I love Miss Lisa, right? I don't remember what. I remember like it was nap time. I remember this like it was yesterday. It was nap time. And I had to pee. I remember she was watching the freak. I swear to God, I don't know how I remember this shit, but she was watching The Crocodile Hunter, rest in peace. But anyway, she wouldn't let me go to the bathroom. So like with the like 4-year-old, 5-year-old, however old it was, me, I pissed myself. I remember she gave me like the biggest spanking of my life for pissing myself.
Dude, I can't even tell you how many whippings I've gotten from that place. But
yeah.
I like to think it made me a better person.
Yeah, facts. That's insane though, dude. I remember you from high school a little bit. Because you graduated.
See, I don't remember you from high school. I only remember you from daycare.
See, that's insane that you remember me. But you graduated 15 or 16?
15.
Yeah, I remember because you used to play baseball.
Yep.
And see, that's how I...
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, everybody that I went to high school with knew that I had, like, that weird, you know, oh, he likes heavy metal. You know, everybody fucked
and that, and that. And that's what I wanted to ask you guys. I feel like deep down... Everyone likes a little bit of heavy metal. They're just afraid to admit it because they think they'll be judged for it.
There's a degree of it in
everybody.
Because I like heavy metal.
You got to think about it. You know, everybody either grew up on Motley Crue, Poison, or Ozzy Osbourne or some kind of way.
Yes. I mean, AC/DC. Everybody, I mean, that's not, you know, metal, but that's some
right.
kind of rock.
I mean, at the time, Motley Crue, right? They thought they were freaking devil worshippers,
I
mean?
That's glam metal. I mean, Tommy Lee sitting there with a pentagram on his kick drum.
Yes.
Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of fucking
Shout
darkness.
Out the devil. They were freaking, people were like... Devil worshippers,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know, and it just escalated,
but,
and that's what it is now.
But yeah, like, I want to get y'all's take on that, right? Because I feel like, you know, in my opinion, I feel like everyone likes a little bit of it, whether they like to admit it or not.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not the, like, I guess the term, the coolest thing. You know what I mean?
And to be completely honest with you, like, and I am 100% guilty of it, I try to encourage people to, you know, be... themselves nowadays, now that I'm older and I like to think I'm a little bit wiser. But back in the day, you know, and we can kind of, you know, testify to this at the school, at least for the 3 years that I went to school with Clayton, there was a certain look. Everyone dressed a certain way. There
Damn.
Was a certain.
Aeropostale,
you know,
baby.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hollister.
Ralph Lauren. You know,
right.
It was a very preppy / southern. You know, kind of thing going on.
Now I show up looking like a fucking hoodlum.
Yeah. But, like, there was this, you know, particular look. And
right.
I fell into that because, you know, trying to fit in, trying to, you know, be like everyone else. Despite me wanting to, you know, dress a certain way, I knew I was going to get some kind of reaction, some
right.
kind of, like, you know, response to it. And deep down at the time, I'd like to think that, you know, I was going to be... tough and be like, you know, I don't give a fuck what they're going to say. But deep down, it did affect. I mean, I'm still in middle school. As an eighth grader, that shit still hurts if someone's bullying you. But it wasn't until I got to college that I realized, you know what? I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I really don't give a fuck. These people don't know me. And for, you know, I want to be my own person. I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. I don't care what the hell someone says
right.
about me. And... that's when I feel like I grew as a person because I became my own person and wasn't trying to fit in like everyone else.
Right.
And I try to encourage people that, and I'm trying to instill that in my brother now. You know, be your own
person. Be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right, like middle school, high school, right? You try to, like, for whatever reason, when you're young, you try to be cool and fit
you're
in.
Very impressionable.
You know, you know what I mean? You care what others think. And at the end of the day, right, like, you know, especially after graduation, I'm sure you guys have experienced it sooner than I did. But after graduation, right, like, you know, you lose contact with almost a lot of people.
Exactly.
It's only the people that you really keep contact with that you talk to. You know what I mean? Like, and like you said, you don't give a fuck what anyone thinks.
Yeah.
So I agree with you 100%. Like, the real ones in your life will stay. The people who are, you know, aren't meant to be in your life will leave. End of the day, you only get one life. Life is short. Enjoy
exactly.
it. So yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you.
My thing was, like, when I was, you know, middle school, high school, I never fell into the, like, the fad of the whole, you know, Aeropostale damn collar button up shirt shit.
Right.
I never fell into that. I basically dress similarly to how I do now. However, I cared a lot more about what people thought then, you know, compared to how I do now. Like, I've definitely grown a little bit out of that. It's just, I don't know. It's funny how I still cared about what people thought then, and I still didn't do what they wanted me to do.
Right, right.
And, you know, I don't know.
But as
I am a little bit proud about that.
Yeah, but as an outsider, because Clayton and I didn't become, like, close friends until William and I discovered that he played guitar.
Yeah.
In seventh grade, I knew who Clayton was. I was still the new kid on block. William was the new kid on block. So me and William kind of did our own thing. We kind of stuck together. And we knew who Clayton was, but we didn't really become friends with him.
This was Hartsville Middle?
No, we actually went as Lee Academy now, to be politically correct. But we went there in seventh grade. I stayed seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. William stayed from seventh until he graduated. But seeing Clayton be his own person at the time, like, looking back on it now, I can appreciate how he was being his own, you know, person. He had a very distinct look about him. He was his own person. Everyone looked like Clayton,
right?
Because he was his own person.
Right.
Whereas I felt that, you know, even though I may have been quote unquote popular amongst some people, I wasn't myself.
Right.
And I feel like I fell into that very stereotypical trying to fit in, wearing the Aeropostale button ups and shit like that. And me being somewhat envious of Clayton, he was able to do his own thing and people still liked him, kind of thing. He wasn't putting on a show for everyone, at least from my perspective. So,
I mean, the only difference in, like, how I was then and how I am now is that, I will say that a reason I knew a lot of people is because, you know, I was on the basketball team. I knew a lot of people then, you know, just from playing pickup, you know, on Sundays and stuff with everybody. And that's how I kind of got to know everybody. But coming from your perspective, dude, whenever you first, you know, came to school with us, literally everybody knew you from playing some type of, like, travel baseball or something like that.
Yeah.
Wesley was the first one to tell me about you. Like, I remember leaving for the summer in, like, sixth grade, and Wesley was like, "Hey, dude, my friend Topher's coming." I was like, "That's great, Wesley. Fuck that guy."
And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I got a bunch of fuck yous because I was this new kid, and
you had highlights in your hair.
Wait, what grade was this? This was like
seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
Yeah, I had highlights in my hair.
You should, like, do that again.
Fuck, man. I had the swooshy, you know, like Zac Efron,
the flip.
Justin
Bieber.
That was his fucking nickname.
The
dude,
flip.
No, Zac Efron.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you
that's
right
now. That's not bad, though. That's not bad,
dude.
That's not bad.
I'm gonna tell you, like, whenever he fucking, like, shaves clean shaven, that motherfucker's face looks exactly like goddamn Zac Efron. At least it used to. I don't know, because I haven't seen you without a beard in, like, fucking 10 years.
You know that fucker played Ted Bundy.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like kind of going back to the baseball thing. I still get recognized by people just because I played baseball.
Right.
I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I wasn't a a decent baseball player, because I was, but it is weird seeing people compliment me on my baseball like past when even though I may be aware that I was a good ball player, I feel like I've moved on from that stuff, and I'm not I don't claim to be a great baseball player. I'm knowledgeable about the sport. I've played decent, but it's weird seeing people come and compliment me on things that I did in high school or middle school or whatever. And I'm kind of getting back into it now because of my brother. I'm helping
right.
Coach and stuff. But it is weird because I've completely moved on to a completely different chapter of my life. I'm doing way different things. I don't even think about baseball as much anymore.
But, I'll let Terry hear that. Holy shit.
Yeah. But it's weird. And Clayton was, surrounded with basketball and stuff like that, but he's even told me that his brother Chase was very dedicated to basketball.
Yeah.
And despite Clayton being heavily in basketball and stuff, his passion was always music, at least from what he has said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like the same kind of goes for me. My family's always been really focusing on baseball, heavily into sports and stuff like that. And I've always had a passion for music. I've just never had the time to express that stuff.
Right.
So as soon as I quit in college, because I did go and play for a short time, it's like I had this freedom. And I was like, hey, I'm going to focus on music now because this is what I truly enjoy. Want to
do.
Yeah, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back. I love baseball. I enjoy the things that I've accomplished. But at the end of the day, music's where my heart's at. And I love, and you play, or you wrestle, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're currently wrestling for Coker?
Not anymore. But I wrestled, oh my God, since I was like 11 through.
I have vague memories of you with the high school wrestling,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, so from middle school up to high school to my freshman year in college, which I'm oh my gosh, like since I was in seventh grade, like that was my goal, was to wrestle for Coker. That was like my dream, and it was like I got to do it, but it was kind of just like, even though I liked it and I enjoyed it, a part of me just I don't know, it was kind of like when you get somewhere and then it's just like you're there and it's just like, what's next, what I mean? And it was kind of just like I loved it, but I kind of It was a hassle too, man. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'll tell you what, the fucking wrestling team at Coker College, or Coker University, I should say.
Excuse me.
Fucking, dude, of all the sports teams at Coker, I swear to God, the wrestling team has it worse than anybody.
Dude.
Y'all are basically in the fucking Marine Corps.
Because I swear, okay?
Like, dead ass.
The coach there now is awesome. Like, he has a great mindset for wrestling. I see him taking Coker, to great places. I really do. But, man, there's something where, like you said, the Marine Corps. What I didn't like is, I'd show up on time. I was a commuter, okay?
Yeah.
And we have, like, 4 a.m. workouts. I'd be the first motherfucker there. And, someone else wouldn't show up, okay? And I get punished for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how's that right for me to do everything right,
yeah,
but still have to suffer and punish, do backwards bear crawls around the quad, I mean? Which sucked. But it was stuff like that I didn't like, and that's why I was kind of just like, I'm glad I got to do this, I'm thankful, but mm-hmm. it was little stuff like that that I was just like, I'm cool, I got to achieve my goal. At the end of the day, I love wrestling, I watch it, I'm big into combat sports. I still like do jujitsu here and there, So I love it, but to me, I was just like, there's more than life. Because after college, it's like you can't really, unless you go to become an MMA fighter, there's nothing, there's nothing, no avenue.
You're not gonna get that
exactly,
much out of it.
Exactly. So I was kind of just like, I kind of want to enjoy college, not cut weight,
I get that, because my brother played basketball for Coker for a few years,
And, you know, he kind of had a similar experience to where, you know, he was, like, my brother was a badass basketball player. And, you know, he always got treated like dog shit on the team.
Right.
They made, you know, he was just as good as anybody else, but they had fucking, like, 24 people on the team.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, fucking 4 or 5 strings on the team of people. That, like, why do you even have that many people?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, like, kind of similar to how Christopher, good God, the stories he has from Newberry.
Oh, you play baseball for Newberry.
Yeah, it's just, like, college sports at that level just aren't worth it.
Yeah.
Like, they really aren't.
And it's just, like, you love it. You know, like, for me, like, I loved wrestling. But there was also times I was kind of miserable, too. You know what I mean? Because, like, I see, like, because in high school, like, I sacrificed a lot. You know, parties, birthdays, you know, time with friends. When you're young, because when you're young, you want to do that stuff. But, like, just to get where I was going to go, like, I sacrificed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to college, and I was like, you know, like, I think I kind of want to enjoy life. You know, I don't want to sacrifice anymore. you know what I mean?
Dude,
I want
to enjoy. Waking up at 4 a.m. to go work out. Dude, my ass going to bed at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, fuck that.
And it was kind of like I loved wrestling. But, like, I know I wouldn't want to be no national champion. You know, I don't know, individually I was going to win national, so I was kind of like, I don't get the hunger to be national champion, so if I don't get the hunger to do that,
I get that.
Then why am I doing, you get what I mean?
I definitely get that, because, you know, I love basketball, I really do. It's about like you, I still keep up with it, you know, I still like to go out and play every once in a while, you know, a couple pickup games or something like that. But, man, I'm sitting here shitting myself if I'm going to tell you I'm good enough to play anywhere. I think I dead ass could have played for Coker. Like, I do think I could have done that.
Definitely could.
But, I mean, what would I have gotten out of it?
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's just to me, you know, I remember, like, the coach at Coker used to preach this all the time. Like, if you're not in it to be the best and have that hunger and do it, then what are you there for? You know what I mean? Because, don't get me wrong, you make friends, you make memories. They're awesome, fun times. But for the most part, you're mostly just like, you know,
most of the time you're fucking miserable.
You're miserable. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're sitting there fucking miserable. Good God, like Christopher, do you have any happy memories whatsoever of Newberry baseball?
I'm curious. I want to hear your story.
Oh, dude, it's horrible.
Let the people know, Topher.
I don't want to, like, completely...
You don't want to shit on it, I get it.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, bash the school because I don't know who the fuck's going to listen to this. But, I mean, to be completely honest, I did not have a good experience at Newberry. And basically what people don't understand when it comes to high school sports and the college...